Hello, my beloved. This is Apostle William T. Broaddus, Senior Pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima. I welcome you to Melvin Slade's Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, KRAJ 100.9 FM, located in the beautiful Antelope Valley. And I am privileged to be able to come to you today and to share with you my convictions concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Holy Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.' So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." There, beloved, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, according to Luke's gospel, calls on his Father to help him in the time of need. You have to recognize that our Lord was facing an awesome task that would bring forth salvation to the human race. So the Bible said Jesus cried out, "Abba, Father." In Luke 22, 41 and 43, it says he walked away, meaning Jesus, about a stone throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And the Bible says, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. This term Father, or Abba, which means Father, is an Aramaic word which corresponds to our word Daddy or Papa. It is found three times in the New Testament. At first, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, said, "Abba, Father." The Apostle Paul linked the Christian's cry of "Abba, Father" with the spirit of adoption in Romans 8:15. And again, Paul writes, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" Galatians 4, chapter 6. What a blessed privilege it is to be given the right to call the great creator of the universe, God, Yahweh. We have the privilege to call Adonai Father. So Jesus says, "Daddy, if it is at all possible, because I know that all things are possible with you, take this cup of sorrow, this cup of agony, this cup of humiliation, this cup of suffering away from me. But wait, Daddy, it's not about what I want. It is all about the divine mission you sent me on. So not what I will, but what you will. Beloved, this is the kind of grace that I'm talking about today. Not the grace of an earthly father, but the grace of our heavenly Father. God's grace is an amazing grace. This is a crucial ingredient for the believer. It is recognizing the grace of God when we experience it. In the Mark passage, Jesus submitted to the will of God. Remember, Abba is the Aramaic for my Father. It is that one word which made all the difference. God knew that his mission had eternal consequences for the human race, and he and the Father had more than a routine relationship. They had a daddy-son relationship. Perfect, beloved, is the will of God the Father. The Father who cannot wrong us, but hath made goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our lives. If we can call God Father, everything becomes bearable. Time and time again, we will not understand certain things in life, but always we will be certain that the Father's hand will never cause his child to suffer a needless tear. That is what Jesus knew. That is why he could go on, and it can be so with all of us. No matter what it is, we can move forward. Jesus, though he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, understood that his suffering was for a cause. So he could cry and depend somehow and some way Father was going to work it out. It is the grace of God that teaches and inspires us to be loyal to the God, to the good news of salvation. No matter how things may become as we strive to be godly people, it is knowing of the grace of God that will keep us motivated and enduring. Paul writes to his son Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8 through 11. He says, "So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm a prisoner for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time. So to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me," Paul said, "to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news." Beloved, it is inevitable that loyalty to the gospel will bring us trouble. For Timothy, it meant loyalty to a man who was regarded as a criminal, because as Paul wrote, he was a prisoner in Rome. But here Paul sets out the gospel in all its glory, something worth suffering for, sometimes by implications and sometimes by direct statement. Paul brings out elements after elements in that glory. When we talk about God's grace as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul writes to his spiritual son in ministry and declares some powerful things relating to God's amazing grace in the lives of the believer who found power in the wonderful grace of God. Paul knew all about God's grace because he had to live and breathe the grace of God. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that God, Christ, said to him after he had gone before the Lord that for a certain malady in his own life, he said, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Over the years, I've been able to see Christian believers who were part of our ministry here at Calvary, and I have seen believers exhibit extraordinary strength under difficult situations. Matter of fact, the producer of this broadcast, my beloved member, one who worked in the multimedia and give leadership at our church, Brother Melvin Slate, I've seen him under difficult circumstances, but I've seen him understand that God's grace, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, will bring him through every trial, every tribulation, every up and every down. God's grace is the thing that will see him through. And by sheer definition, it is my belief that not every believer understands the power of God's amazing grace. I've seen believers in tears, and I've seen believers who were at the lowest ebb of their lives, but I've seen them reach out and receive the grace of God. We need, beloved, God's grace. God's grace is favor or kindness showed without regard to the worth or merit of the one who receives it, and in spite of what that same person deserves. Grace is one of the key attributes of God. The Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. Therefore, grace is almost always associated with mercy. Grace is associated with love. It is associated with compassion and patience as the source of help and with deliverance from distress. I want you to know, beloved, God's grace has sufficient power to help you along life journey. Any suffering which it involves in your life, God's grace that's born in the power of God will help you through. You have to understand, to the early church, the gospel was the power to live. That very age in which Paul was writing was the great age of suicide, and the highest principle of some of the ancient thinkers, such as the Stoics, understood that they had their own way out when life became intolerable was suicide. But they had a saying: God gave men life, but God gave men the still greater gift of being able to take their own lives away. But thank God for the gospel, because the gospel helps us to understand that the power is not taking one's life. The power is the grace of God. The gospel was and is power. Power to conquer self. Power to master circumstances. Power to go on living when life is unlivable. Power to be a Christian when being a Christian looks impossible. Thank God for the power of God's grace. God's grace, hallelujah, saves us. The grace of God not only is power, it is a rescuer. It rescues us from the grips of sin. Hallelujah. Thank God for his grace. God's grace saves us. Hallelujah. God's grace rescues us. It saves us. It liberates us from the things which have them in our grips. Thank God for his power. God's grace enables us to break with the habits of life. Amen. Whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it is pornography, I don't care what it is. Thank God for the power of the grace of God. It is God's grace that is the great enabler in our lives. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, I invite you to come to the Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima and share with us. We're located at 12928 Vaughn Street in the beautiful city of San Fernando in the northeast San Fernando Valley. Come and hear of the grace of God, the grace of God that has power, the grace of God that rescues us, the grace of God that consecrates our lives. Hallelujah. I invite you to come, because God's grace is what you need, and you have to understand that through the power of the Holy Spirit, his grace enables us, hallelujah, to overcome life circumstances and life situations. Hallelujah. Thank God I can testify that God's grace has been a great enabler for me. Hallelujah. And I know I have many of you listening to me that can stand wherever you are and whatever you're doing and shout, Apostle William T. Brothers, I know what you're talking about, because it's been God's grace that brought me from one point when I thought I wasn't going to make it to where I am now. It has been his grace. Hallelujah. I want you to know it's amazing grace the writer wrote. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus, for the gospel of grace. Thank you, Jesus, for grace's eternal purpose. Thank you, Jesus, for grace that guarantees our lives immortal in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that purges us and makes us whole in Christ Jesus. And so I thank you again, and I pray this broadcast will bless you and stimulate you to be whole in Christ.